What is up, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Apple, Spotify, and everyone tuned in on the Texas Sports Unfiltered app? Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK live on Texas Sports Unfiltered and on the free TSU app. Today is Wednesday, July 16th, 2025, and the Buck and I are with you for the next 2 hours, bringing you live coverage from SEC Media Days in Atlanta, Georgia. On today's show, we will recap Texas Day. We've got some sound from Steve Sarkisian and the contingent of Texas players who were here in the ATL yesterday. We'll run down some of the biggest storylines for Texas and every team who's been represented over the first 2 days of SEC Media Days. We will also preview day three going on today. The Oklahoma Sooners will be here this afternoon, so we'll talk a little Oklahoma football as well. Big recruiting day, huge recruiting day for the Longhorns. We'll discuss that. We'll get into the MLB All-Star Game. And I've got some photos from the Hotel Motel Not-So-Holiday Inn that I've been staying at for the last couple of nights. So plenty to get into in the world of sports and beyond back at our original time, 7 to 9 a.m. Good to see you, my friend. How are you this morning?
Good, man. Good to be back. Good to be back on with you. I know you've been busy down there in Atlanta because that's your third home. New York is your second home. Atlanta is your third home. Started to trying to make a move to be your second home. Wait a minute. First of all, Austin, your first home. Dallas, your second home. Houston, your third home. New York, your fourth home. Atlanta, your fifth home. They're number five, but they're trying to work their way up to get into the top three, it looks like. And how is the Atlanta trip? That forsaken used to be at one time, I think Atlanta was Atlanta the capital of the Confederacy, or is it they call it the capital of the South? I think they call it the capital of the Confederacy. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm trying to get, because I'm a historian.
Yeah.
And, history says that I should know that Atlanta was the capital of, I'm going to say the capital of the Confederacy.
Okay.
I hope I'm not screwing up Virginia or something, but I think it was, they either called it the capital of the South or the capital of the Confederacy.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you, I have not seen any signs around the city that say former capital of the Confederate States, Atlanta, Georgia.
I didn't say that at all.
I did see a sign this morning, like a banner hanging that said, the college football capital of the world, Atlanta,
Georgia.
Yeah,
well, that's for damn sure.
And, that feels pretty self-appointed, but considering how many big games keep getting played here and how many big events keep getting held here, it feels like maybe Atlanta can stake a claim to that. They're bragging more about that one than they are about maybe being the former capital of the Confederacy, Buck.
No, they don't have. Is everything peach? Is it welcome to Peach Street, Peach Avenue, Peach Boulevard, eat a peach?
A lot of peaches. The hotel I'm staying at is on Peachtree. I think it's called the Inn at the Peach Trees. So they really dive in head first to the Peach State moniker that they've got.
Very nice. Very nice. Like I said, I've been to Atlanta a few times. I've never been totally impressed with Atlanta. They've got like an underground area there that's, I'd rather be in the underground area in Washington, D.C., where the rail system is there. It's clean as can be. It's cleaner than the above part of Washington, D.C., so I always like to travel underground. Then again, I'm kind of an underground guy, you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean by that? Like underground tunnels that my people are supposedly hanging in?
My people like the Underground Railroad, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. You guys were the originators of the underground travel. You beat my people to that one. Well,
so you've never been in D.C.? You've never been in the transit, the underground area in D.C.? It's so clean underground. They do more underground in the D.C. area than they do above ground. They don't mess with above ground. They just let that be shit. But
you're talking about the subway? The subway system?
The system underground, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've done that in D.C. It's been over a decade, so I can't really remember what it was like, but I do remember it being nicer than what they've got in New York for sure.
Oh my god, that thing was flooded the other day. That baby bad boy was underwater again.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they had lots of when the rains left us, they went, they're up east right now, so New York catching it, parts of Pennsylvania, Virginia, they're getting it right now, but looks like everything is nice and dry back here. It's humid. I mean, hell, it's almost August. I mean, that's what expectations are for us. So I got no complaints. Cloud cover's been out there. So, but I got a deal on my phone yesterday that said it was only 66% humidity. I'm like, who the hell's, I'm not the weather of a humidity. But I wasn't buying 66% yesterday.
No. Well, I wasn't there, so I can't speak to it, but it sure has felt like higher than 66% humidity most days this summer back
home.
Oh,
dude, it's my crotchal area was just damp.
Oh, yeah,
you were moist. It was
dude,
damp.
You were really feeling it. You weren't just like walking around doing normal stuff. You played a round of golf yesterday.
Played a round of golf, and it was cart path only.
Oh, no.
So, you know, with my life alert on my wrist, I just checked, you know, I hit my exercise deal. I walked almost 6 miles yesterday, and it was on a course that was flat. It, dude, that's a lot of walking. And you know what? It was still beautiful. This, you know, it wasn't really bright and sunny, but humidity was up, but it wasn't bad. It was a great day to be alive. It really was. It was absolutely fabulous yesterday. And you were hanging out with your buddies from Auburn yesterday. That group, that class clown group.
Dude, Auburn fans and Auburn media are ridiculous. They're nice people. Like, I've had plenty of off-air conversations with folks who cover the Auburn Tigers, and they're very nice.
They were nice guys to talk to.
Yeah, they're very friendly, but they are the biggest, like, card-carrying members of the SEC. They are the stereotypical SEC fan base, or at least their media makes them seem like they are the stereotypical SEC fan base, because they, like, have talked so much trash about Texas being the new kid. I walked by an Auburn table here on Digital Drive, as they call it now. It's no longer Radio Row. It's now Digital Drive because we're in 2025, and a lot of people are like us doing the digital thing. And I just overheard a conversation. They were talking about Texas. They were talking about Arch Manning, and they're like, man, this Arch Manning guy's so overrated. Like, he's only played 2 games. He hasn't played a real team yet. I don't know why people are talking about Texas. Hey, co-host. Hey, Jim Bob. Did Texas win the SEC last year? Oh, no, that was Georgia, wasn't it? That was Georgia who won the SEC. So I don't know why Texas is coming in. And I'm like, you guys are Auburn. What have you done? Like, just be lucky that you don't have Texas on your schedule this year and you didn't have to play Texas last year, because Texas would be kicking your ass right now.
Yeah, they are the group with, you know, everybody has a class clown. They are the class clown. I'm now going to consider them the class clown of the SEC. That's who they remind me of. You know, they're telling the jokes, not doing anything, being funny. You know, everybody's saying, shut the hell up. What do you do? That's them. And good luck with that quarterback this year. And as you said, hey, do us all a favor. Try to beat Baylor in game one, will you?
Yeah, we'll see if you can get by Baylor in week one of the season.
That is such a – they're, you know, they were funny last – they were – I just thought there was something about them that just – once they got – like you said, once they got on air, it was all about Texas. It was never about them. They're just kind of cruising along, hoping they can win a game here or there, you know, and waiting for the Iron Bowl at the end. That's all they wait for.
They're riding the coattails of the SEC, and it's crazy because – Auburn's two biggest rivals are Alabama and Georgia, and those are the teams that keep beating them every year, and those are the teams that keep winning the SEC. You would think, like, maybe they're rooting for Texas to beat them because, you know, it's not one of their biggest rivals. But no, they're like these flag-carrying members of the SEC. Oh, we got to protect the original SEC, and Texas is the new kid on the block, and we can't let them come in and win this league. And it's like, root for your own team. Don't root for your own conference. I'm still trying to figure out this SEC thing where it just feels like people care more about the conference than their own team. I'm like, dude, if Texas can't win, I don't want anybody to win. But Auburn is like, man, as long as Texas and Oklahoma aren't winning stuff because they're the new guys, like, we're okay. We're perfectly fine with that.
We're okay. We stink, but we're okay.
Yeah, that's a loser mentality right there. Like, that's Aggie fan stuff.
That is fanboy kind of stuff, no doubt about it. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. To all of you and to all you first responders out there, thank you so very much for the job that you have been doing all over the state of Texas. We do appreciate it, and do be careful out there.
Yes, indeed. All right, day 3 from the ATL. A lot to get into in the world of sports and beyond. Appreciate y'all starting your day off with us. Buck, we've got some sound from Steve Sarkisian in his press conference yesterday. We got some Texas recruiting to dive into, as it was a massive day on the recruiting trail for the Longhorns. Where do you want to start our Texas football conversation this morning?
Give me the recruiting trail, because there's a lot of people who love to hear that news, because that sounded like some, you know, in a June and July where it was just kind of so-so, but for other schools it would be great, but for Texas it just seemed like, eh, sounds like some great news yesterday.
Yeah, an unbelievable day for Texas recruiting yesterday. Early in the day, I'd say around lunchtime, Texas picked up a commitment from the number one linebacker in the country for the class of 2026. The five-star Tyler Atkinson, ranked as the 9th overall player in the class. He committed to Texas over Oregon, Clemson, and Georgia. And, wow. Oh, by the way, this guy plays his high school football in Loganville, Georgia, which is less than 40 miles from Athens. So this is a guy that Georgia really wanted. Georgia was a finalist, and Texas was able to go into the state of Georgia for the second straight year. Remember, they did this with five-star defensive lineman Justice Terry in the 25 cycle, took the top-ranked player in the state of Georgia, brought him to Texas. Now they do it again in the 2026 cycle with five-star linebacker Tyler Atkinson. Obviously, nothing official yet. Penn hasn't hit paper. Signing day isn't until December 3rd.
That's right.
But I mean, what a pickup, Buck. A five-star linebacker, the number one linebacker in the country, and going into Kirby Smart territory and taking another defensive player away from maybe the best defensive mind in the sport, it's pretty damn good.
Well, I watched some film of him yesterday. Dude, that guy reminds me of a young Derek Johnson.
Mm.
I mean, he's long. I mean, and he can absolutely go. He understands leverage. He understands when you get to the ball. And, boy, does he bring it when he hits, too. And he'll hit through. If there's another tackler on a body, he's going through the tackler and the other body. I mean, he gets after it, you know, and his length is really good in pass pro. He can back up, backpedal. He's got everything. He's got great agility.
Yeah, he's really fast. I mean, he's a little bit undersized for your stereotypical linebacker, but obviously important to remember that he's still in high school and he's going into his senior year of high school, so plenty of time.
What does it say he weighs? What does it say? Is he a 210 guy now?
Exactly. Yeah, he's listed at 6'2", 210 right now on the recruiting sites. But he's got a frame that looks like it could put on 15 to 20 pounds.
Oh, he looks like a 230-pound killer dog. I mean, like I said, he looks like Derek Johnson looked when he first got here.
Yeah, I mean, he's fast. And some of the numbers he put up, you know, he's playing 7A Georgia high school football, which is the equivalent of, you know, 6A in the state of Texas. And you think about how much talent there is in the Peach State every single year.
Yes. I mean,
maybe per capita, there's more talent in this state than any other state in the country. This guy, as a junior last year, how about these stats? 166 tackles, 32 TFLs, 13 sacks, 3 pass breakups, and an interception. And oh, by the way, he helped lead his team to the state championship here in 2024.
That's a great get right there.
Yeah, and then 2 years ago, how about these numbers as a sophomore? 197 tackles, 25 TFLs, 10.5 sacks.
That could not have been good for Kirby to be up yesterday and have that news hit him.
Oh, he was pissed. He was pissed. And look, Texas was here yesterday, but Georgia was also here yesterday.
Yeah.
So a Georgia kid committed on national TV. Tyler Atkinson announced his commitment on Pat McAfee's show yesterday. So everybody saw this Georgia kid, the top-ranked player in the state, choose Texas over UGA, and that was right when Kirby Smart was here doing his media circus at Media Days.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, how did Auburn do? What did they do? Were they in it at all? Have they talked about we had them? No.
Auburn has the lowest ranked recruiting class in the SEC right now, even below Mississippi State and Kentucky.
Wow.
I mean, Auburn, as we turn this into like the dunking hour on Auburn, I'm going to pull up like Auburn's 2026 recruiting rankings. Forget just last in the SEC. Like they are below a bunch of teams that are not good at all. I mean, they're not even in the top 50 right now in recruiting. I'm scrolling down. Clearly I'm stalling to try to figure out exactly where Auburn ranks for their class of 2026. Okay, here we go. Auburn is currently the 78th ranked recruiting class in the country.
78?
They are below teams like Miami of Ohio, Fresno State, Colorado State, UNLV, Sacramento State, just making the transition to FBS, Appalachian State, Duke, Kansas, Vanderbilt. Even your BC Eagles have a better recruiting class right now.
There's no chance.
Oh, yeah, than Hugh Freeze at Auburn. He got asked about his golf game yesterday, and he's like, it's no big deal. I don't have to defend my golf game. Like, I'm coaching, and then golf is my hobby. What's the big issue? Well, the big issue is your team's not winning games. you have the worst recruiting class in the conference, and
you're spending 5 hours on the golf course.
Oh, by the way, Hugh Freeze was out at the bar here, which I appreciate. I love it when the coaches go out to the bar and interact with the media, but Hugh Freeze was the only coach that I've seen doing that so far. It's like,
yeah, he's a unique individual, isn't he?
It almost feels like, and look, I think
like
Auburn's
trying to get fired.
That's the thing. Like, I think Auburn has a really good roster this year because they have recruited well the last two cycles. They brought in back-to-back top 10 classes in the country. So, like, they've accumulated a stacked team. And if Jackson Arnold is solid, then they've got a chance to be, I don't want to say a playoff team, but like an 8-win team, maybe 9 if everything goes right. But there's a lot of me that thinks Hugh Freeze is like trying to go the Jimbo route and just say, wait, I'm going to get how much if you guys tell
and
me
I
to leave?
I want to play a lot of golf.
And I get to play how much golf if you guys let me leave? So he's not really acting like a guy who is doing whatever he can to get off the hot seat right now. I'll tell you that.
Wow.
So we'll see. But yeah, for Texas, big get with Tyler Atkinson. Here's a little bit of sound from Atkinson. Once again, he committed on the Pat McAfee show. He was asked right after he picked Texas, his timeline with his decision and also why he chose the Longhorns.
We had conversations, I really was just trying to pick when I come here, just go from there. I didn't want nothing to get leaked or anything out. But, you know, what really chose me to go to Texas is the coaches, the relationship piece, the atmosphere. I feel like I just encompass everything I want at Texas. And, yeah, so I just feel like, the way they going to have me playing is just the best fit, and that's why I chose Texas.
Yeah, they're going to have you on the field running around like a madman because that's the way he plays. That is great.
Did you hear that, Buck? He didn't mention NIL. Remember, when a commit chooses your favorite school, he does it because he loves the culture, he loves the coaches, he loves the university, and the
academics.
And
along the way, he'll get paid.
And there's no money involved at all. But when he picks your rival school, he got money whipped.
Yes, that's how that works, yeah.
Right? Now, we're calling a spade here. Yeah, Texas upped the NIL package, and the Longhorns were in pretty desperate need for a linebacker. There were kind of three blue-chip linebackers in this class that Texas really wanted. Two of them had committed elsewhere. Xavier Griffin chose Bama. Braden Rouse last week chose Tennessee. So Tyler Atkinson was kind of the last of the big three for Texas. And the Longhorns haven't signed a bunch of linebackers, only three in the last two classes combined. And more than likely, Anthony Hill, who I got to talk to yesterday, great conversation. More than likely, he's gone after this year. So you've got some young guys waiting in the wing, but you really have to restock and replenish that linebacker room. And bringing in the number one linebacker in America is a really good way to do it.
Yeah, and that dude will get a lot of playing time now. He'll get out there running around, getting used to the system, and so he'll be ready the following year. Hell, he may be freshman All-American if you watch him on film. I mean, there's nothing on when you see him on film that he doesn't have, except for, as you said, he may not have that, that 210. He may be playing like almost like a secondary guy at linebacker. But when you see him with his velocity, when he hits, boy, he brings it when he hits as a 215, 220 pounder, yep. Especially if he gets in those 220s, he's going to be something special.
Yeah, it's a great get. It's a great get for the Longhorns. And again, I mean, considering the fact that he's from the state of Georgia and you did it while you're in Atlanta on the same day that Kirby Smart is also here in Atlanta for conference media days, that's as good as it gets right there. But it got better. Like, that was already a great start to the day yesterday. And look, you bring in a five-star, that makes it a great recruiting day regardless of what happens the rest of the way. Last night around dinner time, Texas picked up a commit from four-star defensive lineman James Johnson, who's not from the state of Georgia, but he was committed to Georgia. He committed to the Bulldogs back in June, and yesterday he flipped from Georgia to Texas. So all of this, you can't tell me it's a coincidence, Buck, that all of this happened on the same day that both the Longhorns and the Bulldogs were here in Atlanta.
Yeah, somebody that once a kid called Texas and said, I'm coming with you guys today. That they're like, yeah, let's do it on the day that we're all there with Georgia. Let's make this the double whammy.
Yeah.
They get together for that. You're right. That's not a coincidence.
No chance. It's a coincidence. This was all calculated by Steve Sarkisian, who Maybe there's some sour grapes with what happened in the two games between Texas and Georgia last year. I know Steve Sarkisian and Kirby Smart are good friends. They talk a lot. They're both pretty open about that. But look, they're rivals on the recruiting trail. They're now in the same conference. Buck, you've talked about it a lot. It almost feels like this is becoming a budding rivalry in college sports. And the fact that, you know, the SEC gave Georgia to Texas in each of the first 2 years in the conference. And we talked about it when the basketball schedule got released. There's only three teams that Texas men's basketball is playing two times this year. It's A&M, it's Oklahoma, and it's Georgia. So it almost feels like this conference is trying to create a little something-something between these two teams.
No doubt. You
get what happens yesterday, and it's like almost feels like Sark's trying to create a little something, too.
Well, that's the way it should be. I mean, Texas understands, Sark and the staff understand who you have to beat. Well, you got to win every weekend, first of all, in order to get where you need to go to. But they know who the big dog is in the SEC and who you have to beat to get to the championship. There's others along the way that may not even be in the SEC, maybe the Big Ten, but this group for sure, in order to win a conference championship, it's going to be Georgia. I don't care if they don't have a quarterback, and they will have a defense. Some way, somehow, they will have defenders.
Yeah.
And now you're starting to take defenders away from them.
I know. That's a big deal, right? And maybe you get it. Like if it's a quarterback from Georgia who picks Texas, it's like, all right, you know, Steve Sarkisian, quarterback whisperer, a team with an offensive-minded head coach, like that makes sense. But the fact
or even a running back.
Sure. Wide receiver, right? Like we've seen what Sark has done with wide receivers during his time in Austin and before he got to Texas. But the fact that it's defensive players now, that's Kirby Smart's bread and butter. The fact that Texas is going in to Kirby Smart territory and, again, poaching these kids away from Kirby, that's a really big deal right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be coming down for Sark. Can he win the big game? Can he get to the big game and win the big game? And the big game is not just the SEC championship, but it's the national championship. The guy can recruit. That's said. He has all the tools in the world. He's got the best tools in college football for recruiting. So he should be able to be a great recruiter, you know?
Yeah. A little bit more on James Johnson before we get to some Sark sound from his media availability yesterday. James Johnson, four-star defensive lineman, the 69th ranked player in the class. Very nice.
What's his size, BK?
He is listed at 6'3", 285 right now. Defensive lineman from the state of Florida. He's in the Miami area. He is the top-ranked D lineman in Florida, the 8th-ranked D lineman overall in the class of 2026. And Texas has put together an unbelievable defensive line class right now. They have four D linemen plus an additional edge rusher already committed in this class. So you talk about Georgia and you go back to Nick Saban's Alabama when he was in the middle of his dynastic run. You think about all of the stud defensive linemen that those teams had. And it felt like every year there was a first round pick on the D line from those schools. That's what Steve Sarkisian is trying to build. He's copying the model.
You're right. The development of these young guys for years to come, for others that are linebackers or defensive linemen, is very important for the University of Texas.
100%. And it's crazy. Like, Texas is recruiting the entire country, but they're really going into SEC territory in this class, right? The quarterback, Dia Bell, is from Florida. You've got the top-ranked defensive lineman from Florida committed. You've got the number one player in the state of Georgia committed. You've got the top-ranked defensive lineman from Alabama committed, the top-ranked defensive lineman from Mississippi committed. Like, this is not just an in-state or a regional thing anymore for Texas recruiting. They're going all over the country, but they're also not scared to go into the belly of the beast that is SEC land and steal some of the best players from there.
Absolutely.
So it's awesome. Awesome stuff yesterday. Huge recruiting day for Texas. Again, there have been a lot of misses lately. That's sort of the good news. When you miss on a few guys, it's not fun, but you know what it does, Buck? It keeps a little more NIL money in your pocket. So it's like, well, Texas missed out on Felix Ojo, the offensive lineman who took that $5 million guaranteed deal for Texas Tech. Look, Texas was going to pay that dude seven figures to come to Austin. He chooses Texas Tech. All of that money all of a sudden is back in Texas's pocket, and now they can divvy that up to other players.
Absolutely.
So, it's not fun when a recruit who has you as a finalist ends up going elsewhere, but it does sort of give you that added benefit. And NIL definitely playing a role with these two commits. But Texas, went from the 9th-ranked class in America to the 6th-ranked class on yesterday's news alone. So,
couple more, you'll be in the top three.
That'll do, donkey. That'll do, as Shrek once said. And yeah, I think you're right. We'll see where things continue to go. All right, before we get to that Steve Sarkisian sound that I keep teasing, Buck, how about our first round of sponsor shout-outs on a Wednesday?
Folks, if you're seeking that specialized patient-focused orthopedic care, contact our friends at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adult, spinal care, sports medicine, trauma care, joint replacement. Dr. Danny and Dr. Stockton are dedicated orthopedic surgeons there, and their goal is to get you right back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Once again, Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in the state of Texas. So when it's time to get those joints replaced, call on Texas Orthopedics. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. And special thanks to our travel partners who are allowing TSU to broadcast live from the ATL. Shout out to Sue Patrick. I brought my Texas baseball SEC championship hat to the table today.
Are you strolling around with that bad boy on?
Oh, yeah. I tried to put it on our little mannequin. Notice we've got a TSU hat on our concession worker today. It was weird. I didn't even do that myself. Like, I just showed up yesterday, and there's a TSU hat on that guy. Like,
nice.
I'm a little scared. That guy reached into my bag overnight and took it, put it on his own head. He's giving me a weird look this week. But, yeah, shout out to Sue Patrick. Jay, I brought the new Longhorn polo that you gave me, and I've been trying to figure out when I wanted to wear it. I'm going to wear it tomorrow because tomorrow's Aggie Day here in the ATL.
Nice.
So I'm going to be rocking that new Sue Patrick polo that looks amazing. But, Buck, we love Sue Patrick, all of the great gear that you need to get ready for
Absolutely.
The season.
They've got all the polos. They've got the hats. They've got the scheduled glasses and T-shirts. They're all available for you at SuePatrick.com, 5222 Burnett Road. Free parking, plenty of parking available when you go there. Head on over there, get ready to get your gear. It's time to load up on that gear for the football season. And folks, as I said, if you do get that stuff online, it's not going to take you a week before it gets to you. Jay knows the people that deliver.
Mm.
And it'll get there to you in a matter of 24 hours, sometimes maybe less, depending on what Jay puts in their pocket, I guess.
Jay might be doing the deliveries himself.
Absolutely, man.
That's how fast the stuff gets to you. It might just be Jay on a bullet train around the country getting you what you need. Oh, man. Love Sue Patrick. Yep, SuePatrick.com, as the Buck says, the best way to get your Longhorn gear and gear up for the upcoming season. Sue Patrick, AV Consultation, 7-Eleven, and Port O'Connor Premier Lodge, our travel partners. We'll talk about them a little bit later in the show. Shout out to Michael, watching live in Bangkok, Thailand, y'all.
Wow.
Very nice. Thanks for tuning in, Michael. Appreciate you finding us. Says Nick Foles was my quarterback, went to Austin Westlake High School. So I guess we can just call it Westlake because we're normally in Austin. But shout out to you, Michael. Thanks for finding us. Thanks for tuning
in.
Appreciate that. And hopefully you keep coming back. All right. We've got some sound from Steve Sarkisian. And Buck, a few moments ago, you mentioned, you know, it's about winning the big one, right? Sark's won a number of big games in his career. He won a conference championship sure. 2 years ago.
He's been a national championship coach. He's been a part of a staff. Yeah.
Sure. Right? If you go back to his time at Alabama, obviously was an offensive coordinator of a national championship team that put up 50 points in the national title game in 2020. You know, last year, though, at Texas, 2 playoff wins. You look at the road win at Alabama, beating OU, beating A&M. Those are big games. So Sark's won plenty of big games, but obviously he's gotten stalled in the semifinal round of the college football playoff in each of the last 2 years. So here's the end of his opening statement. He spoke, you know, for 6 to 7 minutes before fielding questions from the group of reporters who are here. And the end of his opening statement, he kind of talked about the upcoming 2025 season and the keys for his team this year.
But I think the key for us this fall is going to go, we got to go enjoy this journey. We need to be present. We need to be present in the moment, enjoy the journey, and then ultimately finish the mission, right? We've been close. We've been there. We've been knocking on the door the last 2 years. But to go do that, we need to take it one step at a time as we embark on the summit that we're looking for. And that's going to take great discipline. It's going to take great commitment. It's going to take great toughness, mental and physical toughness that's needed. And it's going to take accountability for our actions and doing our job. And so I think we've got the culture in place to do that. We've got the connectivity on our roster. These guys have grown up together. I was thinking about Arch and Ant today. These guys don't know any different in college than playing for a conference championship and being in the college football playoff. That's what their experience in college has been so far. So it's going to take the resiliency, the confidence, and the belief, and it's going to take being at our best when our best is needed. And that's going to be late into December and into January if we want to accomplish the things that we think we're capable of accomplishing. So looking forward to it. Again, appreciate all that you do in supporting college football. And with that, we'll open it up.
Yeah, I mean, he understands that they have all the things in place. Now they have to have that week in, week out consistency to move on. I mean, it's hard to be consistent in the SEC. It's just hard. I mean, people will knock you off your pedestal in a hurry there. Some of the worst teams can knock off the best teams. But you can also, with the physicality of the conference, you can get worn down. You can be really, really good in week three. And by week seven, BK, your team is like, oh, shit, man, are we tired. This consistent grind against these teams, these good athletes, is wearing us down. So they have to find ways to be consistent every week, you know. Yeah. And it's, once again, it's for you and I and our cousins, it's about covering lines. For them, it's about winning games at crucial times by a point, making a field goal, getting a first down, scoring in the scoring zone, getting first downs in the scoring zone, keeping a clock run when you have to run out of game. It's a consistency that you have to have. And that's, as I said, that's the hard part in this conference, to do that every week. And no matter who you're playing, you know, I say Vandy's not going to be there this year, but against a team like Vandy or South Carolina or Mississippi State, you can't let your guard down in a fourth quarter, because it's, unlike last year, it seems like, you know, there are teams that they, you know, we talk about what they could have done to teams, even though they boat raced a bunch of these SEC bad teams. There's going to be a time where those games are going to be dogfights, you know. Yeah. You know, on any given week, you could be in a dogfight with Mississippi State or South Carolina or a Kentucky. Those are the games that you have to find ways to win. You can't lose those games. You have to find ways to win those games, and that means consistent practice, consistent attitude, consistent, you know, culture like he talks about. That has to be there. You can't let your culture drop for a quarter in the SEC or you get beat.
Sure. Yeah,
you end up being Auburn.
Right. Well, don't say that. I don't think it's going to be that bad for Texas. Like, worst case scenario isn't Auburn's best case scenario for this team this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's consistent play, you know.
Sure.
And now you got a young quarterback. His consistent play will be so important, you know. As I said, everything for Arch is not going to be, you know, I know everybody who talks about him expects it for it to be just rosy every Saturday when he gets on. When he gets out there, oh, we got this. This guy's going to throw for 460 yards, 500 yards in a game. It's how can he be consistent with a 300-yard game, you know? What is he going to do when he throws for 250? What is he going to do? Is he going to throw for 250, two picks? What's it going to be? I mean, it's the consistent week in and week out of what you get from him and the rest of the football team.
You got to bring it. And Texas has a tougher schedule in 2025 than it did in 2024, right? I think your big non-conference game is tougher because I think 2025 Ohio State is better than 2024 Michigan. So you've got that game to start the year, and then you have one fewer home game. Like last year, the Oklahoma game was a designated road game. This year, it's a designated home game for Texas, which means you get one fewer SEC home game. You only have three conference games at DKR this season, meaning you have to take one more road trip this year. So, like, it's a lot of the same teams. Obviously, it's all of the same teams in conference play, but you have an extra road game, and then, again, your non-conference game is a little bit tougher. So, you're going to have to bring it every week.
And there's some teams on this list that they're going to be playing. There are going to be some desperate teams. There are going to be some desperate coaching staffs when you look around, you know, including the last game, including Mike Elko in his second year. You think that guy can afford to lose to Texas 2 years in a row? Shit, no, he can't. You know Arkansas can't afford it. You know, Kentucky, I mean, these are guys that are on the firing squad right now. There's going to be some – there will be teams that they play that are desperate.
Yes, you got to match. You got to match the intensity, and you got to match that desperation, like you talked about, right? Like I was talking to a couple of Arkansas guys yesterday, and they're like, "Man, that Texas Arkansas game had no business being close. Like Texas was so much better than us last year, and the game was only close because the rivalry means so much more to Arkansas, and Arkansas wanted it so much more, and Texas was like, this is kind of a random game right before A&M, and it's just like you can't have those moments. It's you can't play down to your competition.
It's the desperate part of the season. It'll be the desperate part of the season for Texas where that game rolls in that, you know?
Right.
Which would be great.
Right. Well, I mean, it's between Georgia and Texas A&M at the end of the year. So hopefully it's not a trap game spot. But look, I'm not too worried about Arkansas this year. But I mean, the point is you got to bring it. And I like that Steve Sarkisian, you know, brought up the last 2 years and the fact that, like, look, winning is fun and losing sucks, right? We all agree with that. So it's cool that Texas has played in back-to-back conference championship games and made it to back-to-back college football playoffs.
Sure.
That's fun. The winning is fun. Guys have gotten to experience that. That should serve as some motivation. Hey, we enjoyed that, so we want to do that again. But the losing sucks. The losing hurts more than the winning is enjoyable.
Always.
So losing in the semifinal round 2 years in a row is hopefully that, like, man, we were so close we could taste it in each of the last 2 years. Like, there's the extra motivation we need. This sucked that we couldn't get to the championship game. Whatever we didn't do the last two seasons, we've got to do it. We've got to go a little bit harder in practice. We've got to prepare a little bit more. We've got to watch a little bit more film, whatever it's going to take to get over that hump. Hopefully it's just an entire mission in that locker room that, yeah, the last 2 years were fun, but it's not good enough because losing when we lost has absolutely sucked.
Yeah, I mean, we've got questions about different players and where they're going, how they're going to perform. Because for me, I just think Arch Manning is he's of that kind of breed that it's the others around him that as a team. Because I mean, it takes a lot of guys on a team to get it done. One guy can't do it. One guy can't take on the whole burden of the entire team. Although now the public's going to put the burden on that dude, but I mean, he understands, and the people around him understand what level they have to play up to with him. I don't think it's going to be him having to play up to a certain level. I think it's those around him that are going to have to perform at a level that they may not be used to, you know, or it takes them longer to get to that level. You know what I'm saying? But they're going to have to get to where his level is in a hurry, I believe. So, but it's, as I said, there's a lot of desperation that some teams are going to roll in here. And then when Texas gets on the road, there's going to be, Florida's going to be another one of those desperation teams.
Right. Well, Florida's got a tough start to their schedule this year. Remember, they play LSU and Miami in the two games before the Longhorns roll into town. So it could be a 2-2 Florida team with Texas coming in. And it's like, oh, Billy Napier better get this one. Otherwise.
Yeah. There's going to be some desperation. And you have to meet that challenge. You got to be desperate, too. Your desperation is the fact that you haven't got to a national championship game. You got to two semifinals. But we're trying to get to that game, you know?
Agreed. Man, this was pretty funny. So the first bit of sound we played from Sark was the end of his opening statement. Then he opened it up to questions. The very first question that was posed to Steve Sarkisian yesterday was about the goal line stand in the Ohio State game and the red zone struggles for the Texas offense. It wasn't a local Austin reporter, too. It was just some random national guy who hit Sark right away with the, hey, how do you make sure that what happened against the Buckeyes in the fourth quarter doesn't happen again this year? So here's Steve Sarkisian answering a question that I think every Texas fan wanted answered. How does the red zone offense improve this coming year?
That was a good start, man. Come on, get up with jabs right there, right at the rip. I mean, clearly, you know, the last 2 years, we've had the ball inside the 10-yard line to score, to either play for a national championship or tie a game to go play for a national title. So huge point of emphasis of ours. Every year as a staff, you look for areas of improvement of where you can improve your team. And as a coaching staff, that's clearly been an area for us where we want to improve and need to improve. I think that our staff has put forth the effort to do that. I think our players recognize that. You know, hopefully that we're good. Like I said, we need to be at our best when our best is needed. And those are two critical moments of the last 2 years where we needed our best and we just weren't quite at our best as coaches and or players. And so big point of emphasis of ours. Hopefully next year you ask me a different question. You say, since you got that resolved, what are you working on this year?
Yeah, I mean, Just an honest question. And I think that's a pretty honest answer without saying that I was a sucky call by me.
Well, you know, it's interesting because at the end of that, Sark is like, well, hopefully next year you're asking me a different question. Well, we asked the same question last year and it didn't get fixed because the red zone offense was bad in 2023. And like Sark said, the Washington game ended with a red zone misfortune, red zone miscues by the Texas offense that cost them the opportunity to play for a national championship. And here we are again after last season, still asking about the red zone issues. So
yeah, hopefully he'll be patting the guys like Neil Brown on the back saying, you know, we added to our coaching staff and, you know, our goal line offense is a little bit better. I want to thank, you know, Neil Brown for helping us out. Some of those things, they just happen. I mean, certain coaches just have certain ideas about things. Neil Brown may have not been good at the 50-yard line, but this guy may help them in the scoring zone with their run game and what West Virginia did. Just little things. It's not big things. It's just, it's your mindset and what you feel like we're going to do. This is what I'm going to call and we're going to be successful at it. Instead of maybe this toss sweep will get in there. You know, we got a good runner. We're okay at the offensive line. Maybe if I just toss it back there 8 yards, somebody in Ohio State may trip themselves and we'll go right by them. You know, maybe it'll be, I know exactly what we're going to do. And by the way, we're going to do it again if we don't get it the first time or the second time, you know? Yeah.
I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Sark or Neil Brown or Chad Scott or Chris Jackson or Kyle Flood. Somebody on the offensive staff has to find a way to make the Longhorns' red zone offense better than it's been.
Sure.
Because it just hasn't been good enough to this.
Well, when he says we're working at it, those guys go out and look at film and they go to NFL camps and other college camps. They find out things that other people are doing, and that's it. They'll imitate it. They'll take some of those plays. And they'll hone that skill in because they know they have the kind of athletes can do it.
Yeah, I do appreciate that answer from Sark. You're right. It felt like an honest answer for him. But at times, last offseason and throughout the 2024 season, Sark would get very testy when he was asked about the red zone struggles. Like, he tried to downplay them. He tried to poo-poo them. And maybe it was just frustration with what was going on, and he knew it, and he just didn't want to acknowledge it. But, like, outwardly, he was like, no, it's no big deal. Like, we're fine. We got it. We just got to execute better.
Yeah, well, sometimes, BK, you just think you're better than you are at something. You know what I mean? You think you're really good at something, but you're not. You're just – you're slightly above average. But in order to win a championship, you got to be way above average. You got to be excellent at it. And he wanted to think that I've got good athletes. I got a really good coaching staff. What do we have to do? We just got to execute it. No, it's not always about that. Sometimes you got to be smarter than the other guy, you know?
Yeah, don't call a toss sweep from the 1 yard line. Don't blame your players for not executing that, which is what Sark did in the post game press conference. And it's like, dude, like, that's the worst play call of all time. And you're blaming your players for that. Like, look, some of the red zone miscues have been on the players. It's not all on the coaching. But again, I love that answer from Sark yesterday. I'm not trying to pick that one apart. I'm just like, I'm on the record. I think you and I are both on the record of, like, criticizing Sark for seemingly downplaying those problems last year. Sure. So it is a little refreshing for him to be like, no, yeah, that is a major point of emphasis for us. That is something we have to get right in 2020.
Everybody has a flaw, and right now he's got to fix his, and he knows what it is. And so far that he's done the job at Texas, he's been here, he's fixed a lot of the flaws, whether it's recruiting individuals, putting guys in the right position. So maybe this is it.
And hopefully, you know, Arch Manning's dual threat ability helps. Hopefully getting C.J. Baxter at, you know, 230 helps with those goal line runs. Like, you've got different changes in personnel that should improve the red zone and goal line offense. But again, some of it's on the coaching. Like, they've just got to find a way to get the ball into the end zone more.
Yeah, that's, I mean, for me, that's what I think about Wingo at wide receiver. I think he's a young, talented wide receiver that you are going to have to scheme things to get him going to the point of, okay, now I can throw some balls up there and he'll go just beat the guy physically. But there are going to be times where I have to throw him open and say, sit in this spot and catch the ball. We're not going to put you in a situation where you're going to have to go make a great play. We'll make the play. We'll make it. We'll get it to you in this spot. You make the play and then start getting the kind of confidence you need as a wide receiver, like some of these other studs that came out as freshmen, you know, where these teams just throw it up and they just get it.
Are you calling for more goal line fades?
No, I'm not calling for fades. I'm calling for getting him the ball in certain positions where you put him in that position. or he doesn't just beat some guy one-on-one. Did you put him in a zone? He catches it. Now he gets the confidence he needs that now during the course of a big game, I can throw it up. He'll just go take it away from that other dude.
That's a goal line fade. Well, yeah, at the end. I can't handle my right. heart. Can't take goal line fades. I hate that play call.
Yeah, I'm not a big goal line unless it's Randy Moss.
Yeah. I don't. As much as I love Ryan Wingo, I don't think he's Randy Moss.
No.
Great if he was. Would love to be wrong on that. What about Thomas's suggestion? How about a fullback in the red zone?
Well, they got enough backs. They can do. They can go. They can do two back sets. They can do whatever. There's a lot of things that they can do. It's just he hasn't picked the right one yet. Right. You know, he hasn't called the right play. They got enough bodies. You know, don't put it. Whatever you do, don't start talking about putting some defensive lineman. Don't start giving me the. Don't put JJ back there now in his freshman year from Georgia in your backfield, please.
You know, it's weird.
No gimmicks.
No gimmicks. Yeah, you don't like the defensive lineman playing offense, right?
No, thank you.
You actually booed when Tavondre Sweat scored that touchdown in the 2023 Big 12 championship game. Everyone else was cheering, and you were pissed that it happened.
Well, because I saw some stuff against Oklahoma where you needed to win that game, and you kept bringing fatties from the defense in there.
Yeah, that one.
That's right. The fatties came in.
That one didn't work. That
one didn't work the first or the second time. Was there more than one time?
Yeah, I think a couple of plays on that goal line stand. Yeah. Patrick says we had Baby Rhino. Look, Baby Rhino, he's got the nickname. He can run with some power, but that guy also weighs like 205 pounds. CJ Baxter's at 230. So that, but you obviously know it better than I do. That type of weight difference in a running back is going to make a difference.
Yeah, and I'm going to take it that CJ Baxter's a little bit longer. And he's had more experience, too.
Yeah, he's bigger and he's been around longer. So, look, I like Jarrett Gibson, but I think C.J. Baxter's your best bet to be that goal line guy if he's fully healthy in 2025.
Yeah, and Arch's legs are going to do some things in the scoring zone that's going to hurt teams because he's not going to hesitate. While we're all going to be holding our breath every time he takes off, he's not going to hesitate as an athlete to go ahead and what's the easiest thing for him to do? Run for 3 yards. He may drop back BK and say, there's three right there. I'm not even going to take a chance on any tight windows. I'll just go ahead and get the first down.
Yeah.
There's going to be times where that guy's going to take off and the entire stadium is going to be standing up going, oh no. Because he's going to do that. He's going to do that a lot because that's just probably in his nature to do that.
Yeah, that's – I really wonder – how much Steve Sarkisian is going to let Arch Manning run.
Well, he's not going to be able to stop him because it's going to be a natural thing.
You know,
I'm not saying he's Vince Young or that was just so natural, but he has that kind of mentality where he knows I'm a big, tall guy. I only need 3 yards, and I'm back here looking around for my second or third wide receiver, and there's a spot over there at 3 yards that I know I can get to. That dude's going to be gone.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He doesn't want him to do that, but that dude's going to do it naturally, I believe.
Yeah, Sark can't stop that, and Sark shouldn't stop that. Like, that's a weapon, right? When you have a quarterback who can extend plays, and if there's nothing open down the field, he can take off and get you a first down. Like, that's a great thing.
And that guy's going to take some shots, and he's not always going to slide. So everybody get used to that, too.
I just wonder, because of that, like, how many design runs will be there? Because, we're talking about this red zone offense getting better. A lot of our listeners had a glitch there in the system. Are like, well, just use Arch's legs. Like, let him run a bunch. And believe me, in practice, that sounds great. I think that can be a weapon for this Texas offense because he didn't really respect Quinn Ewers on any, zone reads last year or RPOs. Like, he knew he wasn't really keeping the ball to run. With Arch, obviously, you have to respect his legs. I just wonder how many of those plays will be in this offense. Or is Sark like, we got to protect Arch at all costs because our season rests on his shoulders, so I can't call those plays just in case he takes a hit that he can't take.
Well, you know what games you have to. You know what circumstance and what down and distance you have to do that where he's got an opportunity to do, to option whether he keeps it or throws. I mean, and as I said, there's going to be so many of those times against teams that you're going to go, why is he doing this against that team? Why is Arch taking off and running again? He doesn't have to. Why is he doing it? Because that's just the way it is. That's just what his nature is. He's going to do those things. So everybody hold your breath, but that guy's going to be running around, and just hopefully he's not running for his life because he has to run for his life,
Right. Yeah. Hopefully, the offensive line gives him some time back there, but he's fast.
This is going to help the run game that we've been looking for right here.
It has to. It has to. And Ant, you got a couple people commenting, like Ant Hill yesterday commented on how fast Arch Manning was. I mean, we saw him hit 21 miles an hour on that long touchdown run in the second half against UTSA last year. Like the guy's a great athlete. He could absolutely scoot. So you want to dual threat. That's the thing. Dual threat. The word threat means you're threatening the defense. So you want to do as much as a player to threaten the other team. And yeah, like you don't want to take that element away from Arch Manning, because again, that's something that you haven't had the last 3 years with Quinn Ewers that could help you take things to another level on that.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to Cooper Flagg. It's like telling Cooper Flagg, you know, just we need you offensively. You don't need to play great defense. But he just, once he gets to the court, it's what he does. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell him, hey, chill out on defense. Don't worry about that guy scoring 30 tonight. As long as you score 30 with him, you know what I mean? It's like that. But once those guys hit the court, they're different people. That's just the way they play the game. No matter what you tell them, it's not going to change what they do. You can tell them in all the quarterback meetings you want, no, dude, we're playing such and such. This is San Jose State. You don't need to be running the ball six or seven times down the field. Throw the ball. Find a way to throw the ball and get it down there. We're going to win the game. But that dude, if it's open, he's going to do what he normally does. So it's going to be hard to harness a guy like that. And I'm kind of fine with it. I'm not going to have that many called runs for him to hump it up in there, you know? He'll do enough of that on his own.
Yeah, I don't need him humping anybody on the field. I'm out on that.
That's a no-go for you.
I don't know what you're trying to watch or what channel you're watching these games on where you're seeing dudes humping out there, but I'm out on that bit.
I think he'll be fun. It's going to be fun watching him on some of those runs. I just know that every time he takes off, people are going to go, why did he do this?
It's one of those things where if the game's in Austin, people are going to go nuts as soon as he starts to take off and run, right?
But sure, then, especially you're going to see game, and they're going to see those early games where you know that they're going to be crushing the teams, and you're going to be going, why is he doing that?
I mean, you'll see like everyone's going to be cheering, but you'll see half the stadium, myself included, doing this. Get down. Run out of bounds. Like you can't have that guy, especially in one of those games, you know, when you're playing San Jose State and UTEP and the ghost of Sam Houston, you can't have Arch taking hits in those games. So it'll be fun and electrifying when he does take off and go. But you're going to be like yelling at your TV or yelling at the field for him to slide or get down.
Well, he's going to be hearing more of that from his quarterback coach and his head coach about, dude, get out of bounds right there. Why would you take that hit? I don't know, because I've been playing football a long time and this is what I do. Well, this is different. But he's just going to play. He's going to play his game. That's, as I said, everybody will have to step up to what his intensity is, you know?
For sure.
I mean, those things are going to fire up a team too. It's not always everybody holding their breath. Some of those guys are going to look at him and have an awful lot of respect when he does those things against teams like we're talking about. They're going to hate it for a little bit, but they're going to grow to respect that. Unless he gets hurt, then they're going to all be pissed.
Yeah, I'm knocking on wood right now on behalf of this entire segment. So I don't want to get blamed in case anything goes wrong.
It's just the nature of the position and the nature of the way he looks like he plays the game.
Buck, I don't know if you saw this. Before we play any more Steve Sarkisian sound, I should have opened with this. This is on me. I've got the video cut up and we'll play it right now. So Steve Sarkisian had his big press conference in front of the assembled media in the big room here in Atlanta, the College Football Hall of Fame. And as with every coach who starts his press conference, he gets introduced. And it's like, all right, walking up to the stage now, the head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels, here's Lane Kiffin. And Lane walks up, they play the fight song of the school, and then Lane starts his press conference. That's what happens with every coach. All 16 coaches who are going to speak this week, they'll have the same thing happen. They'll get introduced.
That'll happen with Boomer Sooner today. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, how gross.
That'll happen with Brent Venables. He's going to be sucking on a fire hose as he walks on stage, which will be pretty hilarious to watch. But that's how it happens, right? That's pretty standard practice. That's not an SEC-only thing. That's what every conference does at their media days. They introduce the coach, they play the school fight song, and then the press conference begins. Well, we had a little bit of a mishap yesterday.
Oh, no.
When Coach Sark was introduced. Watch the video and take a listen to what happens when Sark gets called up to the podium.
Alrighty.
And he didn't even blink. You know, deep down, he was just thinking of what he's going to do. And what he's going to say. What a clown outfit. Quit having this shit in Atlanta and bring it back to Dallas. I mean, really.
That's the most Big 12 thing that the SEC has ever done. Playing A&M's fight song after they introduced Steve Sarkisian to start his presser. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. What a great prank by some Aggie person. Or
did he hang in there pretty good, though? Did the head coach hang in there?
Yeah, no, he did. He did a great job. He didn't address it. He just started his press conference with his opening statement and then fielded questions. He was up there for a half hour. He did a great job. But
oh, they won't screw up Elko, I guarantee you that.
Well, they better. Oh, now they have to. Don't they have to play Texas Fight tomorrow when Mike Elko is up there?
I would say that would be, if I'm the commissioner, I'd say, no, you guys got to do that. That is, then this was a bit. That's all. We did this as a bit.
What do they say? Turnabout is fair play. So if you're going to play
you that as a bit, but they won't. Dude, they hate Texas. We all know that. They hate the rulers of the universe. They don't like it. Sorry.
I was looking around for Billy Lucci. I didn't see him there. Maybe it was him at Texags pulling the strings on that deal. But that's a dang coaching mistake right there, sir.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's not, by the way, SEC, that's not professional. That's a bunch of bull crap right there.
Yeah, like you have one job. Whoever is playing those songs literally has one job. Like you, the coach gets introduced, you click a button, you play the music, and then you fade it out when the coach is about to start talking. And I don't know if someone lost their job yesterday, but that was.
I know Sark is not there, but let me tell you, they wouldn't do that to Kirby Smart or Nick Saban. They wouldn't do that to them.
No, no chance.
They wouldn't have that mistake. Somebody would be going over that list of songs all day long if that's their only job was to press the right button. They'd be doing that. They would make sure that wouldn't happen. That's garbage. Hey, you know, that's garbage.
Yeah. So you're saying that wasn't an accident?
I don't care if it. I don't even care if it was an accident. And I'm not even going to say accidents happen. It just can't happen there.
No, I can't.
That's just garbage.
Bad look for the SEC. And I felt very Big 12. Maybe it was Brett Yormark who pulled the strings on that one to take one final shot.
Yeah, this conference is supposed to be the top dog, and that did feel very Big 12 like, you know.
Yeah, it did.
In Frisco or up in Arlington, that sounded like something that they would do.
I kind of wish Sark addressed it. It's probably for the best that he didn't and just like started his press conference. But I kind of wish he was like, "The hell was that, man?" Like that's
somebody will. You know, once he gets back to Austin, somebody will. That'll eventually. That's got to come up.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think. All right, if
he gets on a podcast with the guys that he does those podcasts with, some of our local guys, and he just said, you know, basically, you know, every once in a while he'll drop a shit bomb. I mean, I'd love to hear him say, you know, that was bullshit. I mean, I'd love to hear him say that. I'm like, you're right, coach. It was.
I'm gonna say the next time I get to talk to Sark, that might be my first question to him is, hey, what'd you make of them playing the Aggie War hymn in when you were introduced in Atlanta? And I'd love to hear what he has to say about that. But that was pretty ridiculous and a humorous moment. You could hear some folks in the crowd laughing when that happened. And there were a lot of people just looking around like, what is this? Is this real? Is this really happening? Am I hearing this right? So
no, that's one of those things. That's one of those things as a coach, you somebody may take it as a joke or somebody may make a mistake, but he'll never forget it. That's in his mind. That's etched in his mind. So when he's done coaching the game of football, because he's never going to forget that he came up the first time in SEC Media Day in Atlanta, Georgia, first time in their territory, and that's what they did to him.
Well, that's what happens. That's what happens when you steal a 5-star recruit from the state of Georgia.
Oh, maybe yeah, on that day, yeah.
Maybe it was Kirby Smart, or it was just some Georgia fan who is pulling the strings, right? We're in Atlanta, just an hour and a half away from Athens. So it's like maybe a Georgia fan was like, you know what? this is how I'm going to get back at Sark for stealing the number one player in our state in this recruiting cycle. I'm going to hit him with the A&M fight song when he walks out. See how he likes that.
Yeah, people make mistakes, but that one should never happen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch chats are rocking and rolling. Very active this morning. Appreciate y'all starting your hump day with us. We've got more sound from Steve Sarkisian. We will also recap some of the other storylines from day two of SEC Media Days, and we'll preview day three that's going on today. I'm seeing some Mississippi State players walking around. Alabama will be here today, and of course, Oklahoma will be here today. So we'll set the stage for what's coming later here in the ATL. But before any of that, how about a few more sponsor shout-outs?
So our friends over at Relax the Back, they embrace that holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle based on 35 years of proven expertise. And folks, my back couldn't be happier. I'm in my Relax the Back chair after a round of golf, walking around the course yesterday. My back feels fantastic. I want to thank Jason and the gang over at Relax the Back. Boy, oh boy, this could have been a day of misery after walking. But boy, I got right to this chair, BK. It feels fantastic. I know you're missing your chair with that, you know, Motel 6 that you got, the chair from Motel 6 there. But, dude, this thing right here is gold. It really is. And for folks that are suffering from shoulder pain, neck, thoracic back, lumbar area, hip area, please go over to Relax the Back and find an accessory or an adjustable mattress that fits you. Zero gravity recliners, select human scale office chairs, desk, and all the accessories that they have at Relax the Back. There is something there for everyone if you are suffering from any kind of pain. Heal and recover, work smarter, sleep reimagine, and live pain-free at Relax the Back. Their B Cave location at the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods and their North Austin location at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck at Relax the Backs, folks. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And some more love to our travel partners. Shout out to our guy Ashish and the gang at 7-Eleven.
Little Debbie's day to eat for me today.
There we go. The best convenience store in the world. Get your Little Debbie's, get your taquitos, get your Slurpees, get your Big Gulp, get you everything you need to fuel you through the summer all across the world. There are tens of thousands of 7-Eleven locations worldwide. They've got whatever you need day and night right around the corner. The best convenience store in the world. And make sure you download that 7-Eleven app and cash in on the 7 Rewards program. You're going to get points that can earn you discounts and free stuff whenever you go in to 7-Eleven. I'm there all the time. The Buck's there all the time. We love what they do. We love our guy, Ashish. And yeah, you already do love 7-Eleven. If you haven't been in a while, get out there. Get you a Slurpee today. Reward yourself. Shout out to our great friends at 7-Eleven.
Very nice. By the way, nice suit by Sark. Love that. Love that. Love that look this time of the summer. You know, he didn't come all First Holy Communion with all white. That was a little off white. I like that little vanilla that he had on, you know, going up there. Nice. That one right there, I'm going to say he picked that out himself.
You don't think that was a L'Oreal vehicle?
No, I think that was him thinking, you know what, where I'm going to Georgia, you know, this is the kind of suit I need to be wearing. I need to have a little flash, but I don't need to be out there in all white cottons. That was a good pick. Good choice.
Well, you know who's been the best dressed so far this week in the ATL?